Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 146. I am Steve Borsch, and to my left is Albert Marugi. Ah,
how are you, Steve? Morning, gents.
Julio Hayes Zapata.
Good morning.
Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Phil Wilson.
You know, usually you start with the people that are here every week, and then you introduce the guests.
I know. And Graham Thickens.
I get to be last and say stuff like Phil usually does.
My brain's not working this morning.
All right. So we are at Thomson Reuters out in Eagan, and the social media breakfast is going to be starting at what time? 8:15? 8:30?
Did we all pass the rectal probe on the way in?
Well, that was, we had to give our driver's license. Now they'll be tracking us. So
they
put a tracking cookie on our driver's license.
I went in the employee entrance, and then someone actually just walked me through the building. So I never got through that security thing at all.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. Total
alarms. You're here without a badge?
I just walked in, and I said, hey, where's the social media breakfast? And she just got up, and we walked literally all across the building.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow.
I, on the other hand, had to register with security twice.
Yeah.
Because he's on the no-fly list.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But it's like a city out here. I couldn't believe how big it is. I've never been here before.
There are a lot of people.
You can tell a business is big when they have shuttles from their parking lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And two-mile walks otherwise.
Yeah. Well, this has changed dramatically since I haven't been out here now, I bet you, for 5 years. But I started coming out here literally when I was in the interactive video disc business with Pioneer New Media. And they had one building, albeit it was a beautiful, nice building. But when they had first moved here from downtown St. Paul, but there was, I don't know.
It was maybe still Westlaw then, wasn't it?
It was still West Publishing, yeah. And schlepping my my three-gun Sony projector and my laptop. Oh, God. How times have changed.
Well, you know, we're here to talk about mobile, but before we start, we have a little announcement about where Minovate can be found now.
Oh, my gosh. You're right.
It's an epic announcement.
It's huge.
It's huge.
We're on Stitcher. Stitcher.com.
So, Steve, what does that mean?
So what that means
that mean
is...
we're getting money for this?
I don't know. Potentially.
In your dream.
Yeah. Okay, so here's what's cool about...
Well, then it's really not news, is it?
Here's what's cool about Stitcher is, unlike having to go and go to iTunes and subscribe to a podcast and then sync your device, one of the things that I absolutely began to love was This Week in Tech, their mobile app, because not only could you just listen to a show on the fly and it would start to download it, i.e. stream it, but it also saved the loaded file as a temp file, and so when you launched the app again, it would still be there. It was huge. And so I stopped syncing all these podcasts because they were essentially on demand. Well, that's what Stitcher's done for all podcasts. And we weren't up there, and so I put us up there and so on and so forth, so I'm sure there'll be literally millions of listeners now.
Oh, my God.
Right?
So check us out on Stitcher, right?
Check us out on Stitcher. It's a great little app.
Is it a web app as well as a native iPhone app?
You know, I don't know the answer to that.
It's probably on Android, too, by now.
It is.
It's been out a while.
Yeah, it has. Indoor plumbing and everything on Android, so it's very
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah. do you have plush toilet seat
plush
covers?
Plush toilet.
Okay.
The swishy ones, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm about to pee on my Android device. No, I'm not...
What was that?
Something went on.
All right. Well, we're here to talk about mobile, but I wanted to start off by mentioning the Amazon Fire.
Kindle Fire. You're right.
Because you were holding one.
At Amazon?
I just call
anybody
it Duff Fire.
Anybody find it interesting that you have books and fire in the same thing?
That was deep.
I think it's foreshadowing. I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. So, Julio, what are your initial? I mean, we can point people, put it in the show notes, point people to your review. But you know, in a nutshell, what's your gut feeling about the Fire? After how long have you had it?
I've had it for about a week.
Have you?
Yeah. You get what you pay for. A $200 device is not a $500 iPod, obviously. But I've over the years become a ravenous consumer of Amazon content, books, movies, TV shows, music, and so it was excellent to fire up the Kindle, which arrived with my account already loaded on it, and have all my content right there. And I watched Breaking Bad. I fired up the Netflix app. All my books were there. A lot of books that I've purchased but I haven't read yet. did a lot of reading, poked around with some magazines. And so as a content consumer, it's a killer device. But it's not a device for getting work done. It doesn't have Bluetooth, so that makes it a complete deal breaker as far as like writing, because you can't use a Bluetooth keyboard with it.
And no camera.
No camera.
Yeah.
But as a content consumption device that's tied in to the Amazon ecosystem and all of the content therein, it's huge. I'm a big fan of it. The hardware-wise, it's clunky, it's slow, it's laggy, it's jerky. It's Steve Jobs would have thrown up if he had looked at it. But it's gonna sell. It's gonna sell like crazy.
Well, you know, it's funny because when my wife got a Kindle, I had resisted the Kindle because I was using the Kindle app, and I'd resisted the Kindle only because I didn't want yet another device to hold. But if that had been out originally, I would have bought that in a nanosecond. And actually, isn't that incredibly impressive that they preload the thing with your account?
Yeah, well, I think they do that for the media. I'm not sure if they do that for consumers.
No, they do.
They do.
Yeah. Okay. When you buy a Kindle from Amazon and they ship it to you, they associate it with your account, and it comes, and you just turn it on, and it's already
Great.
It's already got all your content. That I find truly amazing.
Now, if you buy it at Target or Best Buy or whatever, I imagine you'd have to go through.
Right.
And you'd have
I did that. I bought mine at Best Buy, but it was really quick to get Amazon account linked to it.
So what are your thoughts, Graham?
Well, you know, my initial reaction was one that Julio had, is Steve Jobs would have never let this out the door. The power, the way the power cord fits in at the bottom, and it's like it wiggles, it doesn't fit in there securely, really bugged me, you know. And if you did ever want to have the power hooked up and want to stand it up, you can't. Well, maybe you can in a certain stand. I don't know. I need a stand. It's heavy. That's my first.
It's almost. I've got my iPad 1, and it's almost the fire's almost as heavy as the iPad 1.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I'm not wild. You know, Steve always said 7-inch. No, and I'm seeing what he means now. It's hard to hold. I don't have really long fingers. If you're a piano player like Phil Hotchkiss or something and you got long, skinny fingers, it might feel really good. And my shorter, stubbier ones, it doesn't.
Regarding the reading, how's the resolution on the screen? Is it easier to read? Are you guys finding it comfortable to read?
You have the same problem that you have with the iPad. If you're going to read outdoors at the beach, at the park, forget it. It's going to wash out.
Yeah, right.
It's fine indoors. Although I'll tell you, if you're just focused on the reading experience, you just want to read books, Kindle's new Touch device is killer. I've been using the two sort of interchangeably because Amazon sent me both for review. And I'm working on a book right now, and I would rather read it on the e-ink device. Frankly, it's just you don't have all the distractions, and the reading experience feels more effortless, more comfortable. But for a multi-purpose device that includes the reading at a killer price, it's a no-brainer.
As a content acquisition device, it's excellent. You know, I mean, with the Amazon content universe.
What about battery life, though? That's the other reason to have an e-ink one is it, you know, I charge my Nook about once every couple of weeks, you know.
You're not going to
see, assuming,
you're not gonna
I'm
see the battery life of an e-ink device. Absolutely not, yeah.
What is it, like 10 hours? Or?
Well, I haven't had it long enough to know for sure, but it'll barely get me through the day. An e-ink device will last, you know, a lot longer than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you had a lot of crashes? I've had, like, system crashes. It's slow to boot, and it really bugs me when the whole thing goes down and I got to reboot right when I'm in the middle of a tweet or something.
You mean the operating system crashes?
Well, it goes blank, and I have to press the button to start it again. It's only got one button on the bottom.
That's actually a feature, because then you can use it as a flashlight, because now it's all white.
So. No,
it doesn't turn white.
No.
Okay.
It's
totally black.
So the other thing is a lot of the apps are not native Android apps, like Twitter. The Twitter app is the mobile web app. The only Twitter app that I've found is that's worth a darn is Seismic. Seismic looks pretty good.
Yep, got it
on this.
Here.
Yep. Yeah. And Hootsuite. Facebook.
Hootsuite isn't bad either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Hootsuite, yeah.
I've never been a Hootsuite user. But anyway, Facebook looks good. Twitter looks good. Pulse looks okay. It's not my favorite news reading app. There's no Flipboard. There's no Zeit that yeah. I've found. There's no News 360, which I really am getting to like a lot.
Do they have Pulse?
Yeah, they have Pulse, but
which is
I don't
sort of
like
Flipboard-y.
Yeah, it is, but I don't like the UI as much.
I like Flipboard
I mean,
a lot.
I mean, it's the first. I mean, it's really kind of the first e-reader tablet combination out there. Yep. So I mean, it's early to say, give them time to develop.
One of the things that you mentioned in your review that's up on Google Plus, Julio, is that magazines are sort of a two-edged sword. One is it's kind of nice to have mm-hmm. the full color. But the other thing is reading them on this small screen.
Very
it's just,
small.
It's just too small.
Yeah, since I wrote that, I made a discovery. Some magazines are very nicely customized for tablet reading, like PC Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
The interface is tablet friendly, and in fact, it mm-hmm. changes itself depending on what orientation you're using. So some magazines are customized for the tablet and work wonderfully, but others are just visual facsimiles of the printed magazine. And so you have three terrible choices. You either see the whole page, but you can't read the text, or you blow up sections of the page, and you have to sort of move around.
Oh,
or you have to activate a ghastly text-only mode, which is going to suck the enjoyment out of the experience. So a lot of mainstream magazines on here are virtually unreadable. I mean, I don't know why anybody would want to read them.
That's bad.
So if Amazon makes this a 10-inch, as rumor has it, the next... Fire will be 10.
Nah,
so do you think that will improve it to be on par with the
Fire.
iPad from a reading magazine perspective?
I don't think that's necessary. I think what is necessary is for all magazines to follow the lead of magazines like PC Magazine and just customize the experience for the device. I have no problem with the size, the form factor. I think a 7-inch tablet has an audience. It's an appropriately sized device, but the content has to adapt
right.
to it.
Mm.
You know what I've been really fascinated by, and this maybe segues into our tablet publishing discussion, but there's a huge move, especially in the WordPress and Drupal spaces, for responsive design, and now that's starting to carry over into the Smashing Magazine and all these other sites that talk about CSS and publishing and all of that. And what responsive design is basically... The UI basically reorients itself depending on the device type.
Mm-hmm.
And so the images will resize and the UI will change and it'll go vertical if you go into portrait mode and so on. And it's all the frameworks now are StudioPress's Genesis and Thesis and all these others are all talking responsive design and how they're going to be delivering that. Do you guys think that that is the right answer for different device types, so you'll be able to publish once and then have it available on any other device type, or is it?
Well, that's always been the holy grail of mobile design, kind of the computer design as well. I mean, when you were designing for either iOS or when it was known as Apple OS back then, but and Windows, you could always count on consistencies across. Across the platforms, and then of course we got different browsers, so you had to start worrying about different browser appearances. And with mobile, with so many different operating systems, that's the holy grail. You want to be able to design once and have it work everywhere. We'll see what happens. It's always going to be a challenge. It's always going to be a challenge.
With Adobe killing Flash for mobile, I think that really forces HTML5. Which means that you can have that sort of that native, in quotes, experience
yeah.
across multiple platforms without having to write multiple native apps. You can just have an app that's basically a wrapper around a web browser
yeah.
and then deliver it all on the server side.
And Adobe's making that push into the, to really concentrate on making Air that mobile platform for them as well. I had a chance over at Mobile Twin Cities on Tuesday night to hear a designer, a creative developer, a guy by the name of Andrew Sharon, talk about developing games in Air, and there was some amazing stuff, and it looked great, and it does allow you to have that experience across multiple platforms, because you're basically running it in Air, not on the iOS, not on the OS itself.
So. When you talk about a browser-based experience, the experience from one type of device to another doesn't even have to be the same. One thing I discovered recently is Google Music, which is just out of beta. If you use it on an Android device, Google has some very specific ideas of how you're supposed to use it on an Android device. But if you fire it up on an iPhone, it looks completely different, and it looks great. It's one of the web apps that I've run across that I find preferable to a number of third-party apps for the iPhone for hooking into to Google Music. Those apps exist. I've come to the surprising conclusion that that experience is inferior to just using Google's web app.
Have you sideloaded Google Music onto the Kindle Fire?
well, you don't have to sideload it because it's just on the browser.
Oh, okay. The video experience.
But here's something interesting. There's no physical volume button. So if you fire up Google Music on here, you can't control the volume.
Oh really?
So you have to fire up another app that lets you control the volume, then return to Google Music.
Well, that's crazy. Yeah, it is. So I'm assuming that on the Amazon
out of beta,
music
huh?
player, they have control on the screen. Right?
Yeah, they must.
Yeah,
have
so, if an app assumes that there's physical audio controls, you've got a problem on the Fire because those physical audio controls don't exist.
Wonderful. Wow. You know what's really been fascinating is I'm really hot on getting a device for my 85-year-old dad to be able to use Skype because it's hard for him now to get back to the back bedroom where he has his Mac Mini and display set up and sitting in his chair. So my sisters and I want him to have Skype so we can just call when we call him, we can see each other and all that. He still thinks that Skype is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And now that it's tied into Facebook, we could, because one of my sisters especially is on Facebook all the time. So looking at all these devices, I've been really trying to find an inexpensive device, a tablet. There's actually a Kickstarter project for looks like a dumbbell, and it's a Skype device with a big screen on it. The guy's trying to raise $750,000to make it. But I've been looking at all these different tablets, and even the ones running Honeycomb are just simply too confusing. There are too many options. There are too many pop-ups and different things for my dad.
Get your dad an Air and just call it quits.
Well, no, but see, even that,
get him an iPad.
He needs, no. He needs to be able to just simply touch a button. And everybody keeps saying to me,
how about he moves in with you, and the button he touches is a little buzzer that makes you come in the room.
Ring the bell.
That's a great idea. Thanks, Bill.
With your little tuxedo. Yes, Dad, can I help you?
Fortunately, my dad doesn't listen to this show, so... No, but in all seriousness, everybody keeps saying to me, well, why don't you just buy an iPad and just have Skype on there and just be done with it? You know, put everything else into a folder.
What's stopping you? What's the...
$500.
No.
Essentially. Oh, no, seriously.
I guess we've put a price on love in Steve's family.
Well, the Fire and the new Nook tablet, I mean, those are kind of e-reader experiences. They're at the right price. They just don't have the features like the cameras and the microphones. I think the Nook, though, has a microphone.
I haven't played with them, but you may be right.
But it doesn't have the camera.
That's what we need
is
a microphone.
Yeah. So you'd have
more
to get,
place for us
get
to
some
heard.
Sort of Android tablet. They have Android tablets at like Costco for under $200. That do
the Vizio.
Yeah,
but they're Android. So again, you're back into but you're back into a lot of variables.
It's too normal people.
It's too complicated. It would be too complicated for him, especially. But anyway, so here's my whole.
But it's not about normal people.
Albert Marucci, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.
It's not about normal people. It's not. It's about what is the cost of my time, and do I have the time to spend changing a bunch of little stuff, or do I just want to get it done? So this illusion of choice is an illusion. Mm-hmm.
It's the easy button.
I'm catching up on my old.
For the easy
I'm
button.
Catching up on my old George Carlin stuff.
Good for you.
Well, that's very true. But where I was going to go with that was, and this is maybe a long road to the segue. But where I was going to go with this is, are we going to essentially either devolve or evolve toward more singular purpose devices? Because I would put the Fire and the Nook as 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 e-readers that have grown into the tablet space a bit. And then you've got the sort of general purpose devices, which are the, you know, the Galaxy Tab and the iPad. And there's sort of this kind of sort of this middle ground. And so are people going to make singular device choices based on price point or availability, or are they going to make choices on more general purpose devices where, you know, I can do everything?
I think that especially in tight economic times, everybody's going to look for the thing that does as much as it can. I mean, I would much rather invest in something like an iPad that allows me to use an e-reader, also access the web, and also do some basic word processing. You know, when you download the correct apps. Yeah, I think that's just the nature of the beast. Now, geeks like us will always go out and buy something that's specific to something.
We gotta have that.
Yeah. I need this. I need the left nostril inhaler. That's it. I need that one. I'll get a right nostril one when I can afford it. But you know, now
this metaphor different. Brought to you by Phil's previous cocaine usage.
No, you know, back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, back in the 70s.
And the 80s, too.
It's kind of slopped over the 90s.
You know what I think is going to be the biggest selling device that's going to blow them all out is when the iPad 1 goes to $299 or maybe $199. Look out. Open the floodgates. And that's going to happen as soon as the iPad 3 comes out. I think we can pretty well bet on that, wouldn't you say?
Why haven't they done that with the iPad 1, though? I mean, they've done that with the iPhone, where they've got the 3GS, which is
why haven't they done it? They just haven't done it yet.
Yeah, you got to get a couple generations under your belt. Because there's still a lot of iPad 1s out there.
And I love my iPad 1. I got no
problems. Well, so do I, but I can already start to sense I'm having a lot of app crashes with the iPad 1.
Yeah, Twitter's crashing on me a lot.
And Twitter's crashing, but any app like Flipboard, Pulse, Zeit, StumbleUpon.
Really?
When you're in and you're watching videos, there appears, and this may be an iOS.
This may be
an iOS 5 thing because they changed the way that apps cache. So they used to have this temp cache folder that all these developers used, and now that's gone away. And so they have to cache within their own app space, and apparently it's causing some issues. But what's happening is, I think it has to do with writing to the cache, but if you're watching a video and you try to scroll the page or whatever, or after you've loaded a couple of videos, the thing will just crash right down to the bare metal. A couple times I've had apps that I've had to go back in and reset all my preferences and so forth.
Have you restarted the tablet completely?
I've quit all my apps and then restarted the tablet.
Really wiped the app and just...
I'm sure somebody...
I've done that on a couple of occasions,
I'm sure somebody
yes.
in India could talk you through it, so...
Well, actually, I'm going back and forth to StumbleUpon tech support. I had to do a whole write-up on... Because I was really raining
on
their
ranting.
Parade.
You were
I
ranting.
I was ranting.
But this is... This
but now
is
I'm helping them.
Controlled obsolescence, right? I mean...
Well, listen, I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and I know that we're going to have to give the room to the actual
clock
people that are
wall.
Using it. The clock on the wall.
That was Martin laughing at
But I want to the old clock on the wall. Listen, you know, we are here at Social Media Breakfast, so let's talk. Albert Marucci, who is going to be
the moderator.
moderating this panel. Talk a little bit about the topic of the panel, Albert.
I think they're twofold. One is a lot of the tactics that you... a little bit of the tactics that you talked about here is what are the apps? How are people using real-time information? So we say real-time mobile, but real-time information is a better description than real-time mobile because a third of the time you access mobile, you're not mobile. You're sitting there with your remote in one hand and your number one screen in the other.
Yeah.
And how is that changing the dynamic of messaging and marketing? Take Shopkick, for example, that is now incorporating web-based promotions on television advertising, okay, because of the integration of the two medium. So that's one area. The other area is the emotional connection of the speed of information. What is it impacting? Many people in the financial community will tell you that the market volatility over the last 10 years is in part attributable to the speed of information.
Right. Not in part. I mean, I think you can, if you want to say in part, I think you have to say a major, huge part. I mean, it's a huge part of what's going on with the markets.
And so does the same emotional, does the same emotional need to react involve everything from there's a place next door that's got 5 cents less than the place I'm at now? Or do I start customizing what I want to get based on my geography? I mean, do I start reacting that way, and how does it change? We're going to talk about news as well because we're at Thomson Reuters.
Yeah.
And the guests are Kevin Hunt, who used to work at Thomson Reuters, is now social media lead for General Mills. Liz Giel, who is at Fallon and works on a number of accounts, including Cadillac. And Breon Nagy, who's a wonderful mobile marketer for mobile development companies in the Twin Cities.
Cool.
Oh, that'll be great.
We'll have a little more information on that. This is the first time we've actually done the podcast before SMB, so maybe we could act like we just sat through it and say, that Breon Nagy, that guy was rocking.
He was awesome. He was awesome. And you know, when Julio got mad and threw his fire at the panel,
that was cool.
That was great. Really, I love that part.
Yeah. And then when Graham flashed everybody.
Exactly. Yeah, really exactly. Flash. Yeah.
Master Graham flashes.
Master Graham flashes.
All right. Well, okay, thanks. Right. Thanks, guys, for being on.
Yeah. What do we got coming up for the next week? I mean, we have a short week. It's a short week. Not in the next week. Well, we have Thanksgiving coming up.
And we will not
over the river and through the woods.
And we will not be doing our cast on the Thanksgiving weekend.
You know, I was wondering about that. Didn't we do a Thanksgiving cast last year? Because I remember sitting in a coffee shop in Hutchinson, Kansas, doing our event via Skype. So.
Maybe we should.
I don't know.
Well,
we'll just sit there basking in the tryptophan afterglow.
Do I have to wear my black Puritan garb again and hold my fake turkey?
I love those buckles on those shoes, Steve.
And the white socks.
The white socks.
See, we could do one from the line at Best Buy on Black Friday.
Oh, there you go.
I don't do lines.
Yeah, 10. Is it 10?
Best Buy opening at 10?
No, at midnight.
No, they're midnight.
You have to get there by 10.
Yeah, Walmart's at 10.
Walmart's 10.
Yeah, because it's Black.
You know what? My wife and I did one of those. One. Like 3 years ago at a Best Buy in Eden Prairie, we stood in a line. There were like 200 people in line. I even forget what we were there for. But we got up, and we were maybe 6 people before the door, and the guy walks through and goes, "Hey, well, we're sold out of blah, 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 blah." It's like, well, that's why we were here. You know, they had 30 of them in stock, and that was
speaking
of
Black Friday, I just saw Lisa Grimm pop.
There's
in
Lisa
from the
Grimm.
Mall of
Hi, Lisa.
America. So, Lisa, what are you doing for Black Friday?
Wow, we're doing a 50-foot by 30-foot installation of the Mall of America logo laid on the rotunda floor with 100 QR codes embedded in it.
Wow.
And all of those QR codes will
Good Lord, that's geeky.
And you can win stuff?
You can win stuff. Everything from a $25 gift card to a variety of retailers at Mall of America all the way to a $1,000 shopping spree every hour because 6, 7, and 8,
yes.
100 people each hour will be able to go through and participate in the event.
Wow.
Well, that's a PM or AM?
AM.
6 o'clock in the morning?
6 o'clock.
And what can we win if we come in costume?
You know, we've accounted.
You really want to wear that pure
outfit? I
want to
wear that damn pure outfit.
This is the risk you run just walking into a conversation like this. I don't know what you guys have been talking about.
Oh, well, it's obviously
we've been
no
talking.
Good,
it's
so.
It's no, it's about mobile. Thanksgiving costumes. Mobile, yeah.
So
yeah.
you were very busy last year on doing the social media thing on Black Friday. You were doing parking
was
stuff.
Was that the parking
that
promotion?
Was actually
promotion?
The Saturday before Christmas.
Oh, Saturday before Christmas.
Yeah.
We did the big secret parking party last year. It was very successful.
Will you be doing that again this year?
We're probably going to switch up. It'll be within the same family, but a little different flavor with the parking. So stay tuned.
They're going to give away a car.
You know, what? Can I ask something? This is just completely bizarre, but you could probably do it for free.
Mm-hmm.
Is do a live stream of the QR code thing. You know, when you open the doors and you do that, I think that'd be kind of fun.
We've got some fun plans.
Okay.
For that, so
okay.
Stay tuned again.
All right. Interesting. We'll probably be watching. It'll be the only thing I'll do.
She probably hasn't been sleeping since Halloween. So.
Yeah.
24/7.
She's 24/7 on that.
Yeah.
Tim, give us the rundown of what's coming up in the next few weeks.
Mojo Mixer 2. That's coming up in December 7th.
Right.
And then the EduTech conference, which we mentioned last time, which is the December 10th through the 13th at the Hyatt Regency in Minneapolis.
It'll be good.
And those are the only things that I can see coming up in the near term.
Yeah. We are getting dangerously close to a date for Mobile March this year.
Oh, good.
So we're getting dangerously close, and as soon as we get it, and we'll also be putting out a call for speakers this year for Mobile March. So we're really looking forward to a lot of great stuff.
I have some Yamahas. Oh, you mean people to speak. Oh, sorry.
I got one other thing. Shout out to Don Ball. He's speaking at a Giga Ohm event first week of December, I believe it is, called
nice.
Network in
oh,
San Francisco.
Excellent.
So check that out.
Well, also, WCCO, I believe last night, was the overview of COCO and Project Skyway and a little bit about what's going on there. And also, at the same time, on Channel 11 on CARE, was a USA Today journalist who's in town and was going on and on and on about the grain exchange, and he's going to write an article about Minneapolis or the Twin Cities. And he was blown away by COCO in Minneapolis.
I talked with him.
I was
oh,
in
you
there.
Did? Yeah, yeah.
At least
I
was in there yesterday. The place was rocking. I mean, it is hot. COCO is definitely a place to hang out.
Was that sure. Was the thing for COCO, was the tipping point for them, was that opening up the Minneapolis version?
Well, it's such an incredibly unique space, and it's,
I don't know.
Really,
I don't know. I
really
think
cool.
I would have a hard time working in that auditorium sort of
Well,
vibe.
For those of us with ADHD, we would definitely have a hard time being there.
They have lots of dividers and noise shields.
But it's, you know.
I had a meeting
I'd be
tent.
Tempted to make a few grain exchanges.
Well, you know what Don told me, though, about that? Is Don told me that
Barley.
That what most people...
Meet you in the pit.
What most people will do is they'll put headphones in.
Yes.
And they'll
listen
to, you know, some kind of ambient noise or music or whatever, and that's one of the ways to keep people from interrupting you, too, because they can't just walk over, hey, what are you doing, if you got headphones in. And so that's sort of I would do.
Phil would do 80s rock.
He would. He would.
It's more 70s, 80s, I think.
Actually, his biggest playlist is Lawrence Welk, but we won't go there.
That's well, listen, all right. Awana, Atua.
We got to quit, guys, because
we got to give up the room.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the Minibig Gang podcast. And
we may be back next week.
We'll let you know.
It depends on how we feel after all this.
Thanks for joining us, Julio.
No problem. Yeah, thanks.
See you next time.
All righty.